Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Gagish with the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR Power Talk Radio for Revenue Marketing Leaders. Twice a month, we meet to talk to real revenue marketers and learn their tips and tricks on how they've made that transition from traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And as always, before I introduce our guest, let me take a moment to define the term revenue marketing, especially for our new listeners. Revenue marketing is the process of transforming marketing from a cost center to a revenue center. And I know that every B2B marketer is feeling the pressure to be accountable for revenue or some type of financial accountability. And very simply, revenue marketing is the discipline to achieve that level of financial accountability. And every revenue marketer that we have on the show is on this journey of transformation. And they're here to share what works, what did not work, and really to share their own gotchas, those hidden roadblocks on their journey. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce our guest, Ken Robinson. Ken is the CMO of ProSites, and he's also a serial revenue marketer. Ken and I have been friends for a very long time, and he's truly had a phenomenal career in revenue marketing. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much, Debbie. I'm glad to be here and glad to share some of the details of my story. So thanks for the invitation.
You're so welcome. So you and I were talking just before the show, and next week it's the Marketo Conference, and you were so excited about taking your team because – you know, when you go to Marketo Conference, it's always so many great stories to hear. You know, marketers really come clean about what's working and what's not. And I think you'll also find this year marketers have been doing this for a while now. And I jokingly call you a serial revenue marketer, but that's really what you are, Ken. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your background as a serial revenue marketer?
I'll share some of the details here. I'll probably sound like I'm a broken truck with, 500,000 miles on it, given all the times I've been involved in doing revenue marketing and specifically with Marketo. But, I had the very good fortune of being a very, very early client of Marketo. I think I was probably one of the first 50, certainly the first 75 marketing leaders to purchase the product. So I really have seen Marketo as an organization, the technology, and certainly the conference, which I'm assuming a good number of us are going to be at next week, just grow leaps and bounds. And it was kind of those early days in the way that they frame marketing and marketing's impact on the business that really captured my attention. And then the technology stack in and of itself was just awesome. So I kind of tilted in that direction. Those were kind of early days for me. As I sit here today talking with you, I'm looking back against a career where I've done five implementations of Marketo, really going from the board approval level all the way through, complete operational deployment and optimization. And the marketing team that I was with in 2012, we had the great fortune of going from scratch to standing on stage at Marketo and getting the 2012 Revy Award as the social media mavens that year. So, a lot of wins, a lot of skinned knees in terms of my deployment. So, kind of a lot of mileage there. I've also had the good fortune of being one of the first case studies for Marketo to integrate their application in NetSuite. that's not for the faint of heart, or at least it wasn't at that point in time. And then probably the thing I'm the most proud of is coming off my last position with an organization called Navex Global. We actually merged four companies together, and so I inherited three versions of Salesforce, a homegrown CRM, three versions of Marketo, and a version of Eloqua, in addition to all the corporate properties. And we had about 6 months to integrate all of those systems into a single enterprise stack, Salesforce, Marketo, and then a unified corporate web property. And that, too, was not really for the faint of heart, but it was a phenomenal case study and really working to make sure that we could bring those systems together kind of behind the scenes while still driving leads and driving opportunities for the sales organization. So, those are a few of the highlights of the road that I've traveled over the last handful of years in terms of my revenue marketing journey.
So it's interesting, Ken, that, you talked about five implementations in five different companies, and you talked about deployment, optimization, you talked about technology and the stack. But I'm guessing that in all of that, once you had the engine in your mind designed and ready to go, there had to be some kind of executive engagement. So why don't you begin by describing us for us as you think about what helped you be successful in actually producing a revenue result using people, process, and technology. What's really the role of gaining executive alignment?
I've got to say, you know, the executive alignment is it's absolutely critical. It's foundational. It's probably one of the most essential elements if you are really getting on this road to revenue marketing. You're getting on the road to deploying technology. You know, kind of wherever you're at, and assuming, you know, it's probably early days or an early stage for many of the folks that we might be talking to. But that executive alignment is, in absence of that, the path for the journey forward becomes much more arduous. And I'll kind of, you know, maybe give you a few examples of where I've found success in gaining that executive alignment. You know, first and foremost, you need that for the initial business case that many marketers, you know, depending on kind of your level in the organization, are going to need to get that initial investment. You know, making the investment in a marketing automation platform and some of the other ancillary complementary technologies that might snap into that to build out your stack, it's going to come at you know, some cost, some small and some significantly greater. And so, you know, as a marketer, you have to pen that original business case. You know, what is this going to bring? What's going to be the return on the investment? And you know, having an executive, even as the CMO, so I turn to my CEO or I turn to chairman of the board, you know, the folks that are above me, my partners in the business, and you have to share with them the vision. You know, share with them the roadmap, you know, where do you want to go and why is this investment going to be important? And getting that buy-in and getting that initial alignment is really critical in just getting out of the blocks. Executive alignment is also important when you think about what you'll need to do operationally and especially from a cross-functional perspective. You know, you have to work with finance, you have to work with sales, you may have to work with customer service. There's a Salesforce or a CRM steering committee. The functional leaders of those departments, you're going to have to get their buy-in. Either you'll have to get that directly, your boss may have to get that, or you may have to use some level of colleague or influence in the organization to get them at least to pay attention to what you're talking about in terms of revenue marketing. And then as you get to that operational level and you're making asks of their team, people that don't report to you or maybe even report to your boss, you have to make sure you've captured that mindshare early on as you're wanting to deploy the systems and again, make changes from an operational level. You have to get that level when you're thinking about your partnership with sales as well in kind of marketing operations. Inevitably, the revenue marketing journey requires changes to the way that the business is done, both on the marketing side and the sales side. And so having, again, that executive alignment, and in this case, especially with the sales leadership, is going to be critical. You know, we need them to do things in order for the revenue marketing process, whether that's the people, the technology, the programs, et cetera, to really work and deliver on its promise. And so, again, getting that executive alignment with the sales organization is hugely, hugely critical. And the other place that you need that alignment is when you talk about the metrics. You know, what does success look like for revenue marketing, for the marketing team in general? What are our KPIs? How do we benchmark our contributions? Again, that executive alignment and support is critical there. So I guess, you know, the short stroke here is in absence of it, the slope to the deployment of a revenue marketing foundation becomes incredibly steep.
I really like the way you kind of captured that, but I want to back up for a few minutes and talk about some of the elements. And so,
sure.
Basically, I heard you say that executive alignment is critical, it's foundational, it's essential. Without it, of course, the path is very arduous. And then you really kind of talked about A, B, C, D, four areas. You talked about you need that alignment to create the initial business case. You need it when you begin to operationalize and have to work cross-function to get the buy-in. You definitely need it in that partnership with sales. And you also need it not just to create KPIs, but for those KPIs to be seen, viewed, and used as being credible KPIs for the organization.
Now, it all sounds so lovely and easy when you say that, Ken. People would say, well, of course, that's what we need to do. But, you know, talking about it and doing it are two different things, especially in companies where marketing is very much still viewed as the pens and mugs department or the or the go-get-it-done team for the sales team. So what kind of advice would you give to a marketer who's living in that world?
It's interesting. When I think about like, what are some of the practical actions that marketing can take to get that alignment, I think there's a lot of, I guess, business factors or criteria that, that come into place that would kind of shape what a marketer or a marketing team really needs to do. I guess maybe a couple examples. I have found the environments that I typically gravitate towards, the business environments I gravitate towards, are usually small to medium-sized businesses. You know, in some cases, it might be 25 or 30 people or a couple hundred. You know, from a revenue standpoint, we're looking at, you know, 20 to maybe, you know, 50 or 70 million. The marketing team is relatively small. The organization is relatively flat. I consider myself a builder, so I'm typically going into environments where it's I'm either re-architecting, I'm implementing something new, maybe there's a little change management that's involved. So, you know, looking at maybe my response through those optics, what I have typically found is internal education and PR are hugely critical. You have to start relatively small. You know, the concept of revenue marketing for many in an organization is a new concept. It's got a new language, a new lexicon, and so you have to start with sort of the basics in educating people on what this is, why it's maybe not the marketing that they had experienced in their previous company. You call them pens and mugs. I say, you know, it's the arts and crafts department of marketing. And starting to educate and shift perceptions on what this revenue marketing is, why it's different, why the lexicon is different, and really what it's going to contribute back to the organization. I almost inevitably, going into a new environment, will start and work my partnership with sales first and foremost. I find in almost every organization, sales has a very active, very clear, the fidelity of the sales voice in an organization is usually the best, because obviously that's what keeps the lights on. So I usually start my you know, conversation and getting that alignment with sales leadership. And that could be the senior vice president of sales or your chief revenue officer or, you know, if you're, you know, kind of at that manager, senior manager level, it could be with some of the key sales reps and talk to them about your vision and share with them what you believe revenue marketing can bring to the table and how it can grow an organization. And the important thing there is not just starting your partnership with sales, but talking to them in the language of sales. I sort of learned early in my career, if I used all of the lexicon and language that we see in the white papers and the e-books and the definitive guides from a lot of the MarTech organizations, that has resonance for us and it makes a lot of sense for us. But once you get outside the function of marketing and you start to share ideas and concepts with them using that language, it gets a little lost in translation. I've found that, you know, keeping things relatively simple and speaking the language of sales, pipeline growth, you know, deal velocity, conversion rates, close one business, is a language that resonates. And, you know, the language of revenue marketing and KPIs is hugely important, but I usually have reserved some of that unique language and lingo for just the marketing team. It makes sense. You know, we like to geek out on those terms, but once we get outside of the marketing function, it's really starting to reshape that dialogue and what revenue marketing can do in the language of the business.
I tell you, I always love talking to you, Ken, because you have so much experience. And, again, you just make everything sound so easy and so straightforward. And I do love the piece of advice to start with sales first. I think you're absolutely spot on with that one. Not just start with sales first, but do it very, very early and involve them and collaborate with them through everything that you're creating. Because if you think about it, they're like your ultimate customer. You're providing them marketing qualified leads that hopefully will convert at the best rate of any other lead source that they have. I want to jump to the higher level question that we have here, Ken. And, and actually the whole idea for your talk came from a conversation that you and I had a few years ago when we were talking about different kinds of executive marketing leaders, and we were talking about those executive marketing leaders that did not have a seat at the table, the ones that did have a seat at the table, but they didn't have a voice at the table, and then the one that had the seat and the voice at the table. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what is the difference between having a seat at the table and a voice at the table.
I remember that conversation very clearly. It was maybe a year or more ago, and there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of papers that are being written about the concept of metrics-driven, revenue-focused marketing teams, and it was important to look at the business through that optic and present your impacts and your insights through that type of a framework, and that's how marketing gets a seat at the table. And I thought it was a really interesting concept, and there was a lot of truism to what I was reading and what I was hearing presented. From my own experience, and my response is sort of captured this way, it was my track record of deploying a revenue marketing, kind of an infrastructure of people and programs and process and technology. As I moved from one company and position to another, that track record of success and how I had partnered with sales and expanded the business got me the seat at the table. And so that was sort of the first step. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I'm a part of the management team and pictures up on the website and press releases go out. And, this is all good and great stuff for me professionally. And as we, sat in earnest as a management team and looked at our business opportunities and where we were headed and, growth potential, my contributions to that dialogue, and as I just sort of touched on briefly, were really couched in this language of revenue marketing. And I remember some of the early board meetings. It's the CFO and the CEO, and at the time the company was backed by private equity, so there's a lot of principals in the room. And the language and the lingo of revenue marketing, while it made a great deal of sense to me, it was a little jargony. It was a little, they didn't quite get what I was trying to forward. They didn't quite understand necessarily what, marketing's impact on the business was going to be. And it was interesting. I sat down with, at the time I reported to the chief strategy officer, a great friend of mine. We had a very open dialogue about, kind of what I was doing and how I was doing and how I was reading things out. And she said, well, what's happening is you're getting sort of regulated to more of an operator. Which, at the management team level was sort of like saying to somebody, well, you're not very strategic, you're just a tactical person. And that always kind of stings a little bit because you think, well, I've got all these good and great ideas, now I'm definitely strategic. And it was an eye-opening experience in that, like, okay, I have to really think about what I'm sharing, what I'm doing, what's the language, and does this make sense in the broader context of my role as a manager or a senior leader with the organization. So I had the seat, and I thought I had a voice, but what I was trying to communicate really wasn't resonating that deeply with my audience. Part of how I started to reshape that a little bit was really sitting down with my sales leader. He and I had a great personal relationship and a great professional relationship. I'd established that early connection with him, the trust, the communication, and the collaboration. And we started to collectively work on what's the narrative, the overarching theme or arc of the story that sales and marketing is telling. And we really presented our work together as a continuum. Very tactically, when we go into operations reviews or board meetings, we would spend time well in advance of that and say, well, we're going to talk about our pipeline, and we're going to talk about, what's going on within the pipeline and deal velocity and some conversion rates. And when we talk about close one business and how that's working, and we're talking about marketing's contributions. And then I would have an opportunity, to talk a little bit about some of the higher flying campaigns or the key wins and things like that. And so we really partnered together to develop and shape a collaborative narrative about how sales and marketing had been working together. And through that early partnership and then the ongoing dialogue with sales, I was able to recast marketing's insights, marketing's contributions, and how we were driving the business forward through revenue marketing, but do so, again, in the language that really made sense. The 1-2 punch of that is, A, I was able to kind of shed that operator mantle or title, but more importantly, the synergies, the reality of the synergies that I developed with sales At the leadership level, cascaded down through sales and marketing at the frontline employee level. And as importantly, it was really viewed very, very favorably by the board, by the CFO. And then in this particular situation, ultimately, when we went to transition the financial ownership of the company, the strength of the partnership between sales and marketing was so phenomenal and really kind of unheard of in a lot of cases. It was one of the things that was highlighted during the sale process. So, you know, it's maybe a longer-winded answer to it, but I guess, you know, the short stroke is, you know, think about you got the seat at the table because of the work you've done or the vision you've shared or the early track record of success that you've had, but as you start to think about your professional development and as the organization grows, think about the language you're using to share those insights and share that impact and make sure it's grounded in the language that's common and understood by the business and the business leaders.
I think that's such an important element for you to highlight, because I think quite often marketers get all caught up in the language of marketing, in the language of revenue marketing. They get caught up in the technology. They get caught up more in the tactics, and they think less about what is the business value that they're driving, and then how do I create the narrative with all the key stakeholders across the organization around the business value that we're driving. And so I think that is just an excellent, excellent lesson learned. I have about 1,000 more questions, but we're going to take a few callers now. And let's see, why don't we start with, let me get over here. Let's get to Merrick. Merrick, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Do you have a question for Ken?
I do have a question. So, Ken, you had mentioned that the C-suite has historically seen marketing as the pens and mugs department. So do you think this is still true for most companies today?
It's probably unfair of me to make a broad, sweeping generalization on that perception. From my experience, I would have to say there's as you are engaging with more tenured employees and leaders, especially on the sales side, but really I think through the other functions of the organization, the common perception of marketing is that there are trade shows and events, T-shirts, pens and mugs, or as I'd mentioned, kind of the arts and crafts department. I think if you look in sort of the microcosm of what's going on here in Silicon Valley and the Bay Area, where you've got such an incredible penetration and coverage of leading MarTech companies, Marketo, Eloqua, Salesforce, and sort of all of the other MarTech companies that are here and those organizations that are leveraging those technologies, I think in the microcosm of the Bay Area, it's a perception that's shed more and probably not held as much as if you were to get into, you know, other states, maybe more traditional types of companies, kind of the traditional brick and mortar types of organizations. From my experience over the last, you know, probably 10 years, some of the organizations that I've been in, this concept of revenue marketing is very new. The language is new. But I have to say the flip side of the coin, it's a breath of fresh air. You know, you come in, you talk about pipeline growth, close one business, you talk about business expansion, revenue, cost containment, EBITDA, and focus on, you know, the metrics that drive the business forward and be a revenue-focused and minded marketer. That is an enormous breath of fresh air for those people that traditionally have held the perception of the concept that marketing is really just pens and mugs or arts and crafts. So it's a message that's been very well received, I think, at least in my own experience, when you start to shift the dialogue away from, you know, what about the color palette to let's talk about deal velocity through the pipeline.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that's a very good overview of how revenue marketing is a fresh air, even though they may not know about it. And you do have to be careful how you position it in the language that you talk, because sometimes when marketing starts talking like salespeople, they look at you like you've grown a second head. And if they can get past that initial shock, then they're like, wow, this really makes a lot of sense. Well, let's go to another caller. Let's go to Jessica. Let me see. Jessica, are you there?
I'm here, Debbie.
Hey, Jessica, do you have a question for Ken?
Yeah, I was looking for some advice. So as I'm building alignment with the executives, is there any executive in particular that I should try and focus on first, maybe an area that would better align to start and help me along the way?
I think sales. It's always the place that I start, largely because in terms of my tenure with any organization, the sales leadership, their key lieutenants, the frontline reps, sales operations, that's the group where, you know, outside of the marketing team, where I'm spending the lion's share of my time with. They're going to be my partner in the business in terms of, you know, really as we think about a revenue marketing journey and what you need to do to deploy that, they're going to be a key ally. You need their support. You're going to need their buy-in. You're going to ask them to do things on your behalf to make this process, this journey, less arduous. I inevitably start with sales. Now, it kind of depends on your own position within the organization. You know, if you're reporting into vice president of marketing or CMO, or there's a few folks ahead of you, that obviously is a place to start, assuming that they don't already share your vision there. But if you assume that you have that level of alignment and mindshare within marketing, then the next place I typically go is sales. You know, again, depending on where you're at in the organization, you know, for me as a CMO, I started with a CEO or a chief strategy officer. At times I've reported into one or the other or both, and really making sure that, you know, my manager understands what I want to do, where I'm going, how it's going to impact the business, and if we're going to make this investment in this type of technology or in this type of a team structure and bringing on new functional specialties, they understand what I'm doing and where I'm going. And so it really kind of depends on where you're at in an organization. Start with your direct manager, and make sure they understand what it is you want to do and see the benefit and specifically the return on investment. Then the next place as a marketer I go is into sales.
So I didn't hear you talk about the CFO, and a couple of weeks ago we actually had on the show, Ken, we actually had a CMO with their CFO. And they were talking about the collaborative relationship and what difference it made. So what about the role of the CFO?
Well, the CFO is the next place that I usually turn. In my position, I start with the CEO or the chief strategy officer, because if I have my manager's support, especially at that C-suite level, then I feel comfortable and confident going into the CFO's office because I've got their backing. The second, you know, place was sales. So if I've got the CEO's support, I've got the chief revenue officer's support or the SVP of sales support, when I sit down with the CFO, it's really just a matter of walking through the financials. This is the investment. Here's the expected return. Here's the timeline in terms of, you know, a break even, and then, you know, these investments are going to provide that level of return. You know, then it's really just a financial metrics conversation on how we're going to make the investment. Do we capitalize it? The dialogue shifts materially once you have the buy-in of your direct manager and of sales. Because at that point, it's like, okay, how are we going to get this thing funded and against what timeline? CFO in my book is usually the third position or the third role that I'm looking to get support and alignment on.
So let me ask you this. Is that buy-in and that alignment something you get once, set it and forget it, or is it something that you have to do on a continuous basis? And if so, what are some of the things that you do to keep people aligned?
Man, that's a great question. You never give up on, you know, internal education, internal PR, and really ensuring that you're getting ongoing buy-in to what it is you're doing. Because you will constantly be tested or asked to prove the merits of what it is that you're looking to do. What you've done in the past, is that still working today? Can it be improved on? What are you doing tomorrow, and how is that going to benefit the business? So it's an always-on kind of a proposition for you as a marketer once you start down this particular path. You know, even though you've had early success, you have to continue, like, why is this going to continue to work for us tomorrow? So really ensuring alignment and getting consensus in terms of what you're doing is hugely important. I usually will – there's a couple of things that I do. I'm very proactive in terms of my communication. early on in my career, the concept of internal PR was shared with me, and I've never lost sight of that. Because if you are not taking personal responsibility for sharing small wins, and I'm not talking about, you know, trying to, you know, get all of the sunshine on you, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's disingenuous, and that's going to be seen as such, and it's never going to be effective. But taking an opportunity for well-timed, well-written, well-placed highlights in terms of contributions or success, or recognizing your colleagues or recognizing teammates, that internal PR is enormous. And so I'm a big fan of providing kind of regular email communications. And that comes in different forms depending on your organization and kind of communication strategies for you and your team. I try and find opportunities to do kind of an operational style review, and that'll have different constituents, and the periodicity in which you do that is going to differ by organization. I try and do something with sales, customer service, maybe finance, people that would have a vested interest in marketing's contributions at least once a quarter. So my email communication is a little more frequent than that, but we try and get together in person. And those ops reviews, if you will, are not meant to say, look at what marketing is doing. It's not an opportunity to grandstand or get that sunshine pointed back at you. It's an opportunity to kind of briefly talk about how you've moved the business forward, some of your key learnings, some of your key challenges, and how you're addressing those challenges. But the most important thing you're doing in there is you're establishing two-way communication between you and sales and your other cross-functional constituents. Read out, but listen. You know, you want to understand what questions they have. Do they know what you're doing? How are you doing it? How is it benefiting them? Marketing at times can be a little bit of a mysterious department. What are you doing, and how does all that stuff work? So share some insights, share some learnings, share some impact, but as importantly, make sure you're listening to the other folks. Take that in, and then, you know, look to continue to gain that alignment, gain that consensus as you move forward.
And I think you're right, Ken. I think having that transparency and that here's what's working, we need your feedback, we need to do this collaboratively, we need to do this together, it makes a huge impact on how you partner with all these cross functions within the organization to get to a real revenue impact. Okay, last question. Okay, you're in a bar.
Debbie, just on that note, let me add 2 cents on that, because I think one of the things that transparency in terms of marketing's contribution is absolutely it cannot be overstated. It's if you think about a sales rep, anybody in the company, assuming you have Salesforce or other CRM, anybody in the company can go into Salesforce 24/7, 365 days a year, and understand how is a sales at an individual rep, a territory, a vice president, or the head of sales level, and it's got complete clarity. It's like the emperor has no clothes with that type of system. It's completely transparent. And in a lot of organizations, marketing doesn't provide that same level of visibility and that same level of transparency. When I go into an organization, I'm starting new, and I'm trying to do that internal education and get that mind share and get that alignment. Transparency is one of the things that I talk about, and that goes to that internal communication, both as an ops review or email communications. Provide clarity consistently in terms of what marketing is doing, good, bad, and ugly, about, you know, how you're moving forward in the business. And that is a huge breath of fresh air. It's kind of akin to talking about what marketing is doing in the language of the business. Provide that level of transparency. I'm sorry, I'd interrupted you. We were heading
more
into the bar.
You're absolutely right. I love your comments about transparency. So let's go back to the bar. It's a fun place to be.
Okay, let's go back to the bar.
Next week. With thousands of other marketers, and you're in the bar after a long day of sitting through fabulous sessions, and somebody turns to you and they say, oh, gosh, Ken, you know so much. We're just beginning this journey. You know, I'm a CMO. I'm a VP of marketing. What advice can you give me to help me make sure that I get not just the seat, but I get a voice at the table?
Oh, man. Man, that's I was doing so well here this morning, Debbie. That's a really good question. I think it's building incrementally. It's hard to say. You know, as I look back across, you know, where I've been and what I've been doing, I think it's constantly learn, find small wins, build incremental success. Don't expect a big bang to come from this. It's not that type of a process. It's not that type of a journey. You'll find greater frustration if you're just trying to flip the switch and overnight both get that seat and get that voice. You have to build towards that, and you have to develop a track record of success to get the seat first and foremost, and then through that experience is developing your own voice. Know that it's a process and know that it's a journey. We go to these Marketo events, and I've gone to, you know, everyone since the early days, and you go in and it seems like, man, this thing is, you know, everybody's solved these Herculean problems, and here I am, and gosh, where do I start, and how do I get it done? Start small, but think big, I guess would be my advice and my success.
And I think that's great advice. Well, as always, this time goes way, way too fast. Ken, thank you so much for being on the show today. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. And, you know, you can take a look at Ken Robinson on LinkedIn. You can send him a LinkedIn request. He really, like me, loves to educate and talk to other marketers, so I'm sure he'd be, you know, very, very open. And, again, remember, you can join us and you can download these interviews from iTunes or you can listen to us on Revenue Marketer Radio. Thank you again, Ken, and everybody, remember, it is a great day to be a revenue marketer, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, everybody.